and shoes.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
A senior aide for the Chris Christie campaign says the New Jersey governor is ending his race for the White House. Christie was scheduled to travel today to South Carolina, but announced late last night he and his family would return to New Jersey to reassess the campaign. Meanwhile, Donald Trump took a victory lap in New Hampshire last night.
Donald Trump was riding high after he more than doubled up second place in the New Hampshire primary. Trump took time in his victory speech to give a backhanded compliment to the other candidates in the field.
A number of them called, and I just wanted to thank them, but I wanted to congratulate the other candidates, okay? Now that I got that over with, you know, it's always tough, and then tomorrow, boom, boom. But that's the way it is. And really, you have some real talent. We have some real talent in the Republican Party.
Trump will next face a test in South Carolina from Texas Senator Ted Cruz because of Cruz's bigger evangelical base in that state. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Government authorities in the UK have been given permission to researchers in London to genetically modify human embryos for manipulation of their DNA. To say the least, due to numerous ethical issues alone, people like Andrea Williams of Christian Concern in London wonders if scientists are playing God.
Actually, what we do with gene modification is we alter that. We are literally playing God. And will have massive intergenerational consequences.
I question Andrea Williams, a Christian Concern in London, what will this mean if we create what are often called designer babies?
It completely flies in the face of being made in the image of God. What gives us our dignity, our beauty, being that creative purpose for us. All of this is an assault on God. All of this is defying Him as creator. We, the creature, try to make ourselves God.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Spiritual athlete, Terry Sheridan, New York.
Fed Chairman Janet Yellen is sounding less upbeat about the economy. Speaking today before the House Financial Services Committee, Yellen said jitters about China and falling stock prices could weigh on the economic outlook and the jobs market. Despite intensifying risks, Yellen said there are good reasons to believe the nation will stay on a path of moderate economic growth. These conditions would allow the Fed to consider gradual interest rate hikes. In December, the central bank raised interest rates for the first time since 2006. A Roman Catholic group is appealing to Pope Francis to allow contraception and even abortion to combat the Zika virus. The request comes from a Catholics for Choice, a liberal group based in Washington, D.C. And just ahead of Valentine's Day, there's a new list of the most romantic cities in the country. Open Table's 25 Most Romantic Cities in America lists Virginia Beach, Virginia as a top spot. It's followed by Newport, Rhode Island, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program.
The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Well, wait a minute. Boy, Pastor Tom, here we are talking politics, which we're not supposed to talk about. So what happens is, bam, all of a sudden he says, okay, stop, start.
You're on.
Hey, this is the Team Martech Hour, and this is Joe Martech, financial advisor, called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses, clients all over Florida and in 13 states. In about 2004 or shortly before that, we started doing these radio shows, and the concept was very simple. Joe Martech, as a financial advisor, certainly doesn't know everything by any stretch. Only Vince Rosino's wife knows everything, but, you know, we won't talk about that. Of course, Pastor Tom's wife knows pretty much what.
My wife knows everything.
Everything, yeah.
Well, I'm getting rid of my Google.
You don't need Google anymore, no. Anyway.
I have Kathy. She knows everything.
So then clients would ask me questions that I do not know the answer to, and the reality is this. If you're going to be a credible professional, whatever the profession is, you realize you don't know everything, and you're going to align yourself with other credible professionals. And I use that word credible very, very largely, because if you've put in a lot of time and a lot of years and you've built your client base and you've built it based on integrity and carefully, you only want to associate with other people that have done the same thing. So starting in prior to 2004, way back, Greg Fasula, attorney, became an attorney that I found by accident, I guess, but I found out that he was one of the very few user-friendly attorneys, meaning he's a good listener, he was patient, he wasn't arrogant, not pretentious, and he wasn't expensive. He didn't gouge people. And, you know, the word attorney usually makes people's hair stand up on their arms, because it doesn't always designate a user-friendly person. But Greg is. So he and Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, that was a big name, independent, because the independent doesn't work for an insurance company. They work for the client. And in fact, I just shopped my car insurance, and the girl from Dan's office said, Joe, you're stuck. Your driving record. Well, I'm paraphrasing. It isn't exactly the way she said it. But she says, we shop 45 companies, and you got to keep the one you've got. Now, I did have a couple of accidents and a couple of tickets, minor little things.
Not you.
You're right. I mean, you know, these things happen, Tom. Have you ever had an accident?
Accidentally,
good. So, anyway, and that's what they do. They will shop tons of different companies and to try to get the best for their clients. So those were the original three: Joe Martech, financial advisor; Greg Fasula, attorney; Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And then I shopped religiously, continually, for a CPA.
No way.
You know, I know a buddy of mine, he calls himself a CPA. He worked at a cleaner's with his dad forever. It's cleaning, pressing, and alterations.
They were both CPAs.
Yeah, both CPAs. Anyway.
Not certified pains. Okay.
So Vince Rosino, CPA, certified public accountant, is also a forensic CPA, and he also was a college professor in New York.
But not at Columbia.
But not at Columbia, at another school that I can never remember, but he'll tell me.
It's SUNY Old Westbury.
See? No wonder I can't remember. I can't even pronounce it. Anyway, and
that's out on Long Island, Joe. It's a state university out there.
Thank you. Long Island, where's that?
That's up in New York someplace.
It is. It's you know, it's a funny word, isn't it? Long Island?
Hey, you know, there's a couple of Long Islands. There's a Long Island, New Jersey, too.
Did I tell you that my daughter's...
Well, that's Long Beach Island, I
think. Mother-in-law. Born and raised in Tahiti, and she's French. And when she was 18 years old, she got an opportunity to move to the United States as a servant, a nanny.
Okay.
And so she's moving from one island in Tahiti to another island in New York called Long Island. So here's a kid, 18 years old. Can you imagine the culture shock on an 18-year-old kid that came from Tahiti to...
Tahiti to Long Island? God bless him.
So when she tells the story, it's, let me tell you something, you know, and she's got this magnificent French accent, which, you know, if we only spoke French in this whole world, I think there'd never be a war, because how can you get mad at somebody in French? You know.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah, sacre bleu. It's a, you know, bonjour. Anyway. So having a CPA was critical, but I also, one of the things that was important in putting together the group was that I had people that were not new in business. Why? Well, when you're brand new in business, if mistakes are going to be made, that's usually when they are. But if a person has weathered the storm of time, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, usually they are more careful, more conscientious. They built a practice, they built a reputation, and they're very conscientious about doing the right thing, just from a logic standpoint, let alone being a good person. So just by pure accident, I bumped into Vince Rosino, and the only good news is he's got a great Italian wife who would kill me if I wasn't nice to him. So I have fear, you know, that. Which is respected, you know, that's it. So Vince, not only that, has become a good friend, and he and his wife. In fact, tonight we're all going out to dinner at Flanagan's, is what I hear.
I don't know.
I know, what the women tell us, you know, that's it. And then, because of changes in the market, especially with the debacle of real estate, with the recession and real estate values plummeting, new words came up that most people had not heard before, like short sale and deed backs, foreclosures most people had heard. So having a credible realtor was critical. Just so happens this particular realtor that's part of our group has only been in the business since 1978. And to be 30 years old and pull this off is a miracle. But she, you know.
She was communicating in the womb.
Very good. But she is probably the most credible, hardest, no doubt about it, the hardest working person I know. The girl is just a flat worker, and you couldn't make her lie if you tried. If anybody needs to know anything about real estate, you talk to her on the phone, and she's going to tell you the straight skinny.
She's superb.
Yep. And then the next one who was synonymous with this whole timing was Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Now, those of us that, again, have lived in Florida since all the way through this recession and prior, the mortgage business, to put it mildly, has changed. Getting a mortgage has changed dramatically. It went from unbelievably easy to then unbelievably hard, till today you have to actually prove you can afford to pay for it. Can you imagine something doing that?
I know. I got a client in New York who's having trouble. The kid is a New York City cop, got good income. His wife-to-be's got good income, and they're still holding him up in the process.
Well, does he have a debt ratio that's not good?
I don't know all the details. All I know, he's been going on for a couple of months already.
Because that's often what happens, is they have this ratio of income to debt. And if you have too many payments, here's what you have to do. You have to prove you can afford to make the payment. Now, if you can't save money and you're renting for $1,000 a month and you want to step up to $2,000 a month mortgage payment and you can't save any money, the banks are a little bit reluctant to you this loan.
They want to know where it's coming from.
Where's the money coming from? Yeah. Now, if you have a part-time job, that doesn't hurt, but they're looking for stability. So the concept of having a mortgage broker work with you, he will show you the truth and how to overcome these obstacles. Now, sometimes it takes 6 months or a year to get qualified, but at least when you are qualified, you now can walk in the door and say, hey, I'm buying that place, and you know you're qualified, and you don't have to get turned down. So the object of the whole group, very simply, was to help people with what I consider most of the items that come up in the average person's life, which is mortgage financing, real estate, taxes, insurance, legal, and finances. Now, 1-888, here, class, this is important now. Write this down. 888-221-8990. That's a toll-free number from any place. 888-221-8990. Anybody have a question for Vince Rosino, CPA, or Joe Martek, financial advisor, or Pastor Tom? Because He may not. Pastor Tom knows quite a bit.
He's getting inspiration from the Holy Spirit. He's always asking us questions.
And on top of that, he's a good teacher.
Yes.
You know, and on top of that, he has learned quite a bit from us. You might be able to handle this show by yourself now.
I doubt that.
But he has. You got to admit, we have taught you quite a bit.
I've learned quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's been quite interesting.
Yeah, matter of fact, we were talking about a reverse mortgage last week. And even though I don't do that, but Mike Paulus does, he was just talking about a relative of his that had bought a house up north. And over the years, it appreciated to about $500,000. They sold it, paid off the mortgage, came down with about $400,000, and bought a house with $150,000 down. Now they have no payments. In a reverse mortgage, you can actually buy a house and end up with no payments, no principal and interest charges. You got to pay taxes and insurance.
Yep.
But literally, they just bought this house, and now they've got a couple of $100,000 in cash that they can invest or do whatever they want with, and they never have to make a mortgage payment.
Just as long as they can afford two houses.
They don't have the house anymore. They sold the other house.
The reverse mortgage is only good until you sell the house or die.
Well, and that's and the point is?
Well, you said that they took the money from the reverse and bought a house down here with it.
Yes. No, no, yes, no,
yes. Yes, no, yes, no. What
they
is
sold
it?
The house up north.
Oh, they sold it.
They gave them the cash.
Okay, and then they bought a house here.
Now,
what are they doing with the reverse mortgage?
Well, the reverse mortgage, the house was $400,000.
Just doing it because they're using the money for
something. They put $150,000 down.
I got it.
Okay. The reverse mortgage is on the house, the new house.
In the new house. Okay, gotcha.
Now, stay with us here.
I'm just checking you to make sure you got the facts.
Here's what happens, you know, because he's tax season. He's working hard.
He's burned out.
His brain.
No, not burned out yet. It's only February 10th.
April.
Give it another month or two.
Give him when April 1st hits, you should see the wheels start to churn. And then, remember last year he fell asleep at the desk here? You know?
No, I didn't quite fall asleep. But I was yawning a lot.
Right.
Because I am up until midnight many nights working on this.
Yeah. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So I see you've got some...
I've got my notes here, Joe, because I'm so excited to tell the listeners that the president, President Obama, made his budget proposal for the fiscal year 2017.
Uh-huh.
Well, this 17. Sort of, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, that begins September...
Of this year?
Of this year. Right. I think it's, no, October 1st.
They have a
fiscal year.
Year.
Yeah. So the 17 year starts, I guess, October 1. But anyway, so he's presenting it to the Congress. You know how this works.
Of course.
The president puts it in, and he has this wish list of everything he wants to accomplish, and then the Congress battles it out, and they come to some compromise. Well, a couple of things very interesting. I mean, not all bad.
Okay. It
depends on your perspective. I mean, they want to change, for example, they want to change, for the better, child and dependent care credits. You know, they want to go from $1,000 a child up to $3,000 a child.
Now, you say it's a child credit?
Yeah, it's a dependent care credit. That's when you put your child in daycare or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Usually you're limited to how much the expenses you can take on a child in daycare.
I know. Now,
you certainly can't get child care for a child for a year for $1,000.
Oh, no.
But here comes what happens. You can get checks from the government. You might have paid $400 or $500 in actual tax money, mm-hmm. and might get a check for $6,000 or $7,000 back that you didn't pay in, but it's not a refund.
No, it's true. But this thing here, this is not, they're not going to make that a refundable credit.
This is not a refundable.
No, that's a credit against expenses you've already incurred
for
child care. But they want to raise the threshold so that more of the expenses would be
are
eligible
deductible.
For the credit. Okay, so that's not such a bad thing.
No.
Also, the education credit, they're talking about making it, you know, the credit now is $1,000, this American Opportunity Credit.
Now, what's that mean?
College. That means if you're going to college and you're spending money on tuition, then you can get a piece of it back in a credit. And the credit is usually up to $1,000 on this American Opportunity Credit.
Now, here's a question. Let me ask you this. So I'm a student, and I'm making $15,000 a year working part-time, going to school, paying tuition. I'm not going to pay any tax anyway.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
So this,
however,
credit,
that credit, yes, but that credit, if you're a dependent of your parents,
the parents can take it.
They would be able to take it.
Uh huh.
But you'd have to be a dependent of the parents.
So you can take your standard deduction for a child, and then an additional $1,000.
Yes, as a credit, and it's a credit, not a deduction. Credit's worth more money to you because the credit's dollar for dollar against your tax.
Oh.
Where a deduction is $1,000 times your bracket. So if you're in a 20% bracket, then it's only $200 worth to you. But this isn't. This is $1,000.
So this is a full $1,000 take off the tab, right?
That's
so,
right.
So most colleges cost $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you get $1,000 back.
Yeah, but that's only one of the credits. There's other credits, too, that you besides the American
this
Opportunity.
Is the new proposed
this is
budget.
The new proposed yes. budget by the okay. president.
By the way, well, this is Mike Paula speaking, who just snuck in.
He snuck in.
A little bit late.
But, I was listening.
Oh, that's good. So he gets points for that.
But you got to give Mike a lot of credit. His office is a long, long,
it is.
Long,
he's only, what, about two blocks?
Yeah, away from here.
Well,
it takes him a long time to get here.
Listen, for some reason, there's a lot of traffic in Palm City.
Yes.
That's a perfect excuse. I like that one, Mike. Last week it worked because they had that gas main blow up.
Well, I wasn't here last week.
That was a disaster.
You could have used it last week.
Maybe it's still backed up from that.
That was a disaster.
Anyway.
But if I get on, there's also something very good in here. I thought was very, very good. It's a budget that would create a new tax credit for people who hire graduates from community colleges. $5,000. Up to $5,000.
So a company.
Yeah,
a business gets a credit.
It's a college partnership, and it's a credit. It's for employers that help community colleges fill their investment shortfalls and hire qualified community graduates.
Now, if you're an employer, let's say you're a sole proprietorship and you hire somebody, that would come right off your personal income tax when you did all your taxes, right?
That's when you do the corporate return for your company.
But what if you don't have a corporate? Is it only for corporate?
Well, this only talks to corporations right now.
It doesn't say
employers, actually. Technically, employers.
Well,
now, you could be a sole practitioner and be a sole proprietor and be an employer.
Okay.
So it really directs itself to employers.
Okay. So it would count if you're an LLC,
a partnership, a sole proprietor,
whatever. Okay.
If you're employing them and you're putting them on the payroll.
Is it limited to community colleges?
That's what this particular, it's called community colleges.
Okay, well, maybe when my son graduates, I can hire him.
Yeah.
Can I get him to cut the lawn?
You can't send him to IRCC anymore, though, because it's not CC.
It's a state college.
That's a state college.
Oh.
So you got to find a community college.
That's right.
Do we have one?
You might have to start one. I don't think we have
one. Maybe you can start one, Mike. It's a great idea.
You realize if this passes, this might be a smart thing to do, is to hurry up and start a community college.
No, I heard that this doesn't have a chance of passing.
Well, this is his wish. This is his wish.
I heard it's not even getting up to bat in the Congress.
Well, it depends. You know how politics go. But here's another one. Here's an interesting one for those. This is his wish list. He wants to increase the capital gains rate.
Oh, boy.
From 20 to 28.
That will go over well.
Including the 3.8% investment tax. But overall, raising it from 22 to 28. So he wants to get more money.
Raise more taxes. Yeah, this is good.
And then they also want to reduce benefits for the higher-end income workers. In other words, the higher-end income earners. They want to limit the amount of itemized deductions. Gee, I was wondering when they were going to get to that. Limit the amount of itemized deductions.
So they're not going to take deductions away. They're just going to limit the total.
They'll limit the total to 28% of your income. Mm-hmm. Done, over with.
Well, you know what? We all know the odds are not too good this is going to pass. Now, on the other hand, if Bernie gets in.
Bernie would love this.
Bernie would love this. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking
politics. I listened to his acceptance speech.
This is Bernie Sandberg.
Yeah.
move along.
1-888-221-8990. Okay, what else do we have in here on
the list? Well, actually, that's skimming it. They want a corporate tax reform. You know, that's been on the agenda
for
so
long.
That forever. So they want to tax the income that's out there offshore and encourage them to bring it back in. They want to look at that 28%.
I want you to bring the money back, but we're going to tax you big time on it. Uh-huh. I mean, that's going to go over like a lead balloon.
I don't understand why we have to tax it at all, because it's already probably being taxed overseas.
Wait a minute. Are you using logic? This is government we're talking about. Careful.
The other things have to do with businesses, and I guess I'm going to hold that for another show.
Okay.
All right, so that's having to do with individuals, and I thought that'd be most of our audience would be interested in that.
You know, we were talking just a little bit about the mortgage business, and obviously the changes have been dramatic since before the recession, through the recession to now. And I know that we've brought up the subject of the USDA program, which is 100% financing.
Yeah, we're still active in that, and it's a wonderful program.
Yeah. Now, you can't make too little, and you can't make too much.
Yeah, but they're pretty generous on the income caps. With a household of four,
Husband and wife, two kids.
Yeah, you can make up to $75,000.
Gross income.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I just worked on one yesterday, pre-qualified a customer, had a household of five, and they were a little over $80,000. The cap is $95,000 for that. So, you know, you can make some good money. Yeah. And if you use that income, and if you don't have a boatload of debt, you can qualify for up to $417,000 on a mortgage on that.
Yeah, well, you think about when you have a 4% or less interest rate, $400,000 would be, what, $16,000 a year in interest?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so
it's roughly, what, $1,400, $1,300 change a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for our listeners who don't know what the USDA program is, it's 100% financing. And when you compare that to other programs, like FHA requires 3.5% down. I mean, that's a pretty minimal down payment.
Yeah, right.
But the problem with FHA is they have a monthly mortgage insurance premium. And mortgage insurance is not anything that protects the consumer. It goes to protect the lender. So it's a needless expense on the consumer's part.
That's not on the USDA?
They do have one, but it's much lower on the USDA. So if you're comparing it side by side with an FHA loan, the down payment's less because it's 100% financing.
Right.
There's no down payment at all required. And the mortgage payment is lower because the mortgage insurance is lower. So it's a great program.
Are sellers allowed to pay closing costs on the USDA?
Sure are.
So you literally can walk in with no money out of pocket.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. This is neat.
You know, it's one of the greatest things in the world for, let's say, a young couple, especially a first-time buyer, and but that's not making a lot of money. But we've had quite a few people I know that have expressed interest, and you've done quite a few of them.
Yeah, and this is not a new program. I've been doing them for 20 years here.
Yeah, and I was talking earlier, just before you showed, about your relative that used a reverse mortgage to buy a house.
Yeah, what a success story, I think. I mean, I think it is. You know, they purchased a condo down in Miami about 15 years ago for about $200,000. They're going to probably end up selling it for about $550,000. They're buying a brand new house here in Martin County for $400,000. And they're only, the cash out of pocket is going to be about $180,000. And they'd have no mortgage payments. So it has all the benefits of paying cash because there's no mortgage payments. You know, so it's a great program.
Yeah, we have seen such magnificent stories come out of the reverse mortgage program. My favorite one was a lady in Fort Pierce that was in her early 80s that had lived in the same house most of her adult life and never had air conditioning.
Hmm.
Now, you know, living in Florida without AC,
I don't know how she did it.
It's hard to imagine. But she got a reverse mortgage, and that afforded a brand new AC system, central air in that house. And I got to tell you, this woman, just the smile on her face that day when it started working was just hard to imagine.
That's a great story.
And it is. And, you know, nothing is for everybody, but when a program works, boy, it is, it's a very gratifying feeling.
Yeah. And what it does is it allows the senior to stay in the house, you know, retain ownership, because you never give ownership to the bank.
Right.
And it just drastically improves your way of life. Now, like Joe said, it's not for everybody. I mean, one of the downsides is there's a lot of closing costs involved with a reverse mortgage. And the reason for that is it's not like a forward mortgage where the loan gets paid down. When you end up, where you end up is going to be more than what you borrowed because the interest accumulates on the loan.
Yeah.
So we have to record the mortgage and get the title insurance on a much higher number.
So they get their money. They're going to get their interest at the end of the deal.
Yeah, they're going to get paid. I mean, it's not nothing's for free.
No. But just so you know, that interest is deductible when paid by the estate.
When paid by the estate?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the example is this. They get a reverse mortgage for $200. 10 years later, they die. They owe $300. So literally, $200 was cash. $100 would be interest. Right?
Right.
The kids pay off the house, and that $100,000 is a tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Now, if it's a primary residence.
Well, if it's a primary residence.
Well, it has to be a primary.
It's going to be hard to get it.
Yeah. And the kids inherit it. They inherit it at the step up.
Correct.
To start with.
If they sold it, if you're dead, yes.
So, well, yeah, I understand. So they sold the house for $500,000. They paid off the $300. There's going to be no tax because of the step up. And what about, does they still get the $100,000 deduction?
Yeah, they would. But I think that's going to go to the estate, because that's going to be an offset.
It wouldn't go to the heirs.
Not yet. No.
Well, I was looking for a cake and eat it too, you know, which was
And well, I was talking to a friend of mine this past week about reverse mortgages, and he lives in a townhouse. Can they get a reverse mortgage on a townhouse?
Yeah, they can, as long as it's considered a planned unit development and not a condo. Condos are harder to do. They are possible to do reverse mortgages on them, but it has to be FHA approved. But townhouses where you own the land, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish whether it's a townhouse or a condo, because there are single-family homes that are condos. So you just have to check.
Based on how it's filed with the state, when they show the deeds and stuff, obviously once there's a recorded.
Well, I was talking to him, I said something about, well, you live in a condo. I don't know. He said it's not a condo. It's a townhouse.
Yeah, yeah, well, that means he probably owns the ground that the property sits on. And if that's the case, then yes, you can do a reverse mortgage.
But to me, it just looks like a big apartment.
It looks like it.
Complex.
Yeah. So you see, there is a difference between a homeowners association and a condominium. And it's how it's filed and recorded. Vince lives in a homeowners association. Right. You probably live in a homeowners association.
Yeah, that's pretty common here in Florida. Because there's a gated community, zero lot line homes, townhouses.
All kinds of things.
Yeah, they're all typically planned unit developments, and there are no restrictions.
But whether it's a townhouse, condo, or whatever, it would have to be the primary residence of the individual who gets the reverse mortgage.
Yeah, if someone owns a house here as a second home and they live up in New York, this is not going to work.
Okay. No. Well, what if they get a reverse mortgage and then their employment requires them to move across the state?
There's a clause in there that when you can no longer live in the property, regardless of the reason, then they can call the loan due.
What if you move somewhere, but your plan was to be there a couple of years and come back?
Well, here's the deal. Every year they're going to send you a letter, and they're going to say, do you reside here as your primary residence? And you have to, you know, attest that you're...
About that. Yeah.
You don't have to prove it, but you have to sign that and attest that you're living there as your primary residence.
So you couldn't rent it?
No, that would be a
bad idea. Even for a short term?
No. Well,
the rule is this. It's got to be a primary residence. You live in it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not living in it... But if you were on a sabbatical for a period of time... You know, I think I could look you straight in the eye and say, no, that's my primary residence. And even though I'm on this sabbatical or I'm gone for a year or for whatever, that is my home. I don't have another home. I'm renting an apartment or something someplace else.
Remember, this is for seniors. So typically they don't work. They're usually in a retirement situation. But in the case where maybe you have to go into assisted living for a short period of time, that wouldn't count. I mean, if you can no longer live there for 6 months, 8 months, that's fine. But if you have to permanently move into an assisted living facility, then it's time to consider selling that house.
And we had the same situation last week. Remember, we were talking about the inheritance. We were talking about Medicaid planning.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens in those cases. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If it's no longer your homestead and you qualify for an exemption, if you're permanently put into a nursing home or...
But what happens is we were talking about a legal thing, which we're not attorneys, and this is an opinion only based on experiences that we've had. But your homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors in the state of Florida.
Correct.
Now, if I go into a nursing home and I move out of my homestead, how long am I out of that homestead when it no longer becomes my primary residence? Good question.
That is a good question.
And I don't know the exact answer.
I think it's determined probably from your doctor. He's going to have help in that decision. So whether you're capable of leaving
again,
and going back
in. Think that the tax collector sends you a notice each year, and if your situation changed, you're expected to respond to that notice and tell them that you're no longer living in the property.
Right. It's a situation that because a homestead is exempt, very often, I think, if the kids know dad's going in the nursing home and going to stay forever, go sell that house now because it's exempt from attachment by creditors.
This all came up, Mike, because we had a situation where a client came in and they were trying to do what we call emergency Medicaid planning.
Emergency Medicaid is a good way to phrase it.
Because, you know, here they are. They're a week away from selling a property that was still in the name of the mom. Yeah. Was 99 years old and was put into a nursing home 4 or 5 months ago. Mm. So they didn't do any planning. And so it was
point because
suspended down. You can't gift it because they have this 5-year look back. It's a problem. You need to deal with this.
Yeah, and here comes legal, and this is not our bailiwick, none of the three of us here, but the situation is in Florida, to get Medicaid approved, basically you have to prove that you're broke. And in order to prove that, if you have money, you've got to spend it first before the state's going to pay the bill for the nursing home, Medicaid. Okay, well, now there's loopholes, and there are legal loopholes, yes. But you again, like Vince says, waiting until the 11th hour and 59th minute to find out.
Yeah, that makes it challenging.
Makes it much more difficult. Yes, and now an attorney has got to put his name on that document and attest to certain things. And sure. A lot of attorneys are, hey, they want to make sure the T's and the I's are all in proper order. No different than CPA, financial person. Every one of us has a responsibility to make sure we submit documentation that is honest and correct to our best ability.
We have liability, Joe. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So if you have a question on a reverse mortgage, on a traditional mortgage, on refinancing, if you got questions.
What a great time to refinance, Joe.
Can you believe that the interest rates, they raised the interest rate and the mortgage rates came down?
Yeah, well, that's what happened the last time the Fed started raising rates. For the first six times they raised it, the mortgage rates actually stayed the same or went down.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. What's the rates now?
Geez, the Fed raised the rates back in December, the middle of December, and since then we've come down about 3/8% on the mortgage rates.
Under 4%.
Yeah, certainly under 4.
What if you do a 15-year?
Oh, then you're probably in the low threes.
Low threes?
Yeah.
It's exciting. You know, and you know, I remember back years and years ago when I was in real estate, I said, boy, if we ever got back to 10% interest rates, we'd all be rich because people could afford houses.
Yeah, I remember that early 90s when the rates were heading down, people were, you know, I've refinanced the same people 3 or 4 times a year because they were falling so fast.
Wow.
Hey, I'm old enough to remember when back in the 80s, early 80s, we were paying 16 or 15% on the mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah,
and when it went down to 12, we were excited.
Yeah. We got down to 8.5. We said, this is the lowest we've ever seen. Yeah. That's when I sold a house and I learned about creative financing, and a couple of years later, I learned about a quit claim deed.
Yeah.
Because the guy gave me the house back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's like you said, there are certain things that you'd never heard of before that you learn the hard way very often in creative financing. But, you know, the government used to allow all kinds of stuff that you could do in financing back in the 80s and 70s, that most of those little things are gone.
Well, you know, back in those days, you know, you would just go down to your savings and loan and do a handshake mortgage. You just met with your banker, and that's. But now everything is sold. Everything's sold to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, Ginnie Mae. They're all sold and packaged into bundles. So they all have to abide by the same guidelines.
Well, that's the same road they went down in 2006 and 2005, right? They bundled up all these things. Securitized them.
Now the people in Iceland aren't buying them. It's all Fannie Mae and it's all Freddie Mac.
They're just about broke too. So I don't see how you can lose on that end if you're a debtor.
You know, Mike and I were talking earlier that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are extremely profitable. Those are the agencies that buy these mortgages, government agencies. When just before in the height of the recession, there were all kinds of politicians saying get rid of them because they're losing money hand over fist.
Yeah, and that was a blip in time because they've always been profitable.
Yeah.
They always will. And as long as we don't go through a recession like that, then I think that you will remain profitable.
Well, I agree.
888-221-8990. Now, this is a talk show, and you can call in. And questions, that's exactly what we're here for. If you've got questions on anything to do with taxes, got questions to do with starting a business, selling a business, you got questions about reverse mortgages, traditional mortgages, what limits are, how to qualify, you got three reasonably intelligent people here.
Homestead exemption is a big topic right now because they have to file by the end of this month.
In order to collect it for this year, right?
Yeah, if you purchased a house last year, then you have a very limited time to file your homestead exemption.
It's the end of February?
Yeah, the end of February.
Now, here's another question. Let's take homestead for a minute. If you are, let's say, 50, there are certain deductions automatically you get for homestead, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and then the government says, or the state says, hey, we also say if you get your homestead, we're going to put a 3% cap on the raises on your taxes each year.
That's the big benefit.
That's a big benefit. Yeah. But also now, let's just say you're over 65, and if you're a widower, there are more deductions for
homestead. You know, when you go down to file your homestead exemption, you should spend a couple minutes and inquire about all the exemptions that are available.
And find out what they are.
Because if you're a disabled veteran, you know, there's a good possibility, then you might not have to pay any taxes at all.
I have a couple of clients in that situation. Yeah. They pay something like $400 a year.
Well, usually it's the non-ad valorem taxes, which is your trash pickup and, you know, the water drainage, you know, fees and whatnot. But usually you're exempt from paying the actual tax.
Well, these are questions that you need to ask. You just don't take things for granted. And a lot of people just don't know the questions to ask. But I think the magic one is when you go down is to say, what homestead deductions are available? What's the list? Mm-hmm. Which ones could I possibly qualify for? And everybody that works for the government technically is your employee, and they should be there to help you. And in theory, most of them are.
Yeah, when you walk and most in, of them are very helpful. If you go in and approach them right and they're in the right frame of mind, they'll provide all the...
Didn't have a fight with her husband this morning, right. You know. But the point is, though, that most of them, my experiences with the last few years with everybody in Martin County, St. Lucie County, and Social Security Administration have all gone out of their way
to help
people. Mm-hmm. And it's been very gratifying to see that, because seems like 10, 20, 30 years ago, people had an attitude that they don't have today. So this user-friendly stuff has become a really nice thing.
Yeah, and one thing also, if you're filing for your homestead exemption, if you sold a property last year that was homesteaded, you can port over your savings and apply for the portability of your homestead exemption.
Explain that.
Well, let's say you bought a house 20 years ago, like my relative. They bought this condo almost 15 years ago. They bought it for $200,000. So when they filed their homestead exemption, their taxes were capped at 3% a year. Well, they were saving a tremendous amount of money. So you can file an application to port over a portion of that savings over to your new house that you're buying. Yeah. But it's a separate application, and you have to inquire about it.
That's very good advice.
And we got a call. We're going to take a call.
All right.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Thank you for all the information you're providing on this talk radio show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a little question about a tax exemption in Florida.
Go ahead.
The real estate tax exemption that you're talking about. I have a relative, an elderly lady, who's now realizing that she has two homesteads. And one is a reverse mortgage that she did a few years ago in a little condo in Palm Beach County. And in the primary house, which really was, it's also her homestead. And she realizes that's a big error on her part. And now she got the little card, and she's going to call and say, you know, the one with the regular house, we have to take that homestead off and keep it for the condo that has the reverse mortgage.
Which one is she actually living in?
Well, she's living in the reverse mortgage condo.
Okay.
And she rents out the other one, and that's another one of related questions, renting it by the season, mm-hmm. not 100.
But well,
everything you said is very acceptable. There's no requirement to file a homestead exemption on the house that has the reverse mortgage. I mean, it would certainly be to your benefit. But now, if you're no longer living in a house that has a homestead exemption, you might have a little problem with the county about that. But you wouldn't have a problem with the mortgage company.
But she's living in the...
No, not with the mortgage company. You're right. But there is a problem that she has two homesteads.
You only have one.
And, I don't even know how that
now
would...
that.
Well, what she has to do is go down and tell the truth and just say, hey, there should not be two. There should only be one. And she's got to pick one or the other. And the one she's actually living in technically is supposed mm-hmm. to be the homestead. So mm-hmm. what they'll do is they'll redo the taxes. And she may, if it's only been a short time, there may not be any difference in real dollars. But she needs to let them know.
Yeah, I think it's been going on for a few years, and now that I'm going through, this is a lady who's very elderly, and I'm helping with a lot of paperwork, but that is what I, you know, we just come to realize. So it's not a matter of a phone call, it's a matter of going to the tax collector's office, right?
Yes.
And openly explaining.
Yes, understand, it was a mistake. and they're not going to be nasty or mean or anything, but they'll recalculate it, and it might cost $500, $1,000, $200. I mean, I can't tell you how much, but it's a recalculation based on no deductions, some deductions. And if it happened during the last few years with the value of real estate being down, it may not be as bad as you think.
Yeah, because what happens is they're gonna reassess the value of the property, the taxable amount. So, I mean, it could go up a little bit, and the fact that you're removing the homestead is probably going to increase it about $400 right there.
Yeah, but that's key. Is this, you tell the truth, and then how and they'll work with you, even if it's a deficit, and hopefully she can afford it all at one time. But if not, they'll still work with you.
Okay, I really appreciate your info, and I don't want to get away off the subject, but I have another question. I'm sure you have other people waiting, so if that's the case,
no, you go ahead. We have actually nobody else waiting, so you go ahead and ask your other question.
Thank you, sir. My other question is more into talking about the same elderly person who has not filed income tax in about 6-7 years, and the paperwork is who knows where, and I don't know how to proceed.
Well,
in that sense,
what's her income?
And it really depends on what your income is. Can you get a handle on what her income was during the years that she didn't file? Mm-hmm. It was her only source of income, Social Security, for example.
Social Security was basically her only source, except when she rented that property for the seasons.
Well,
that,
in those
that is
years,
the way she gets to be able to pay her real estate taxes and things like that.
Unfortunately, so the fact that she has the rental property, she's going to need to file in the years that she had rental.
Here's another problem you've got.
In her early 80s.
I know. But she can still. Hey, here's the bottom line. Somebody like Vince, CPA, they run into these situations quite regularly, and it's called. He can file for back years. The fact that she had rental income, now that also means the property was not a primary. It comes into a whole different ballgame. But it doesn't.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be that big a problem.
Because there could be offsetting expenses, real estate taxes, HOA fees.
There's all kinds of different things.
Insurance. So there's expenses to take against that revenue. Yeah,
exactly. But the fact is that she's...
Yes, all the deductions that are rightly, you know, deductions, I understand. That can be...
But she's going to have to report it.
Got
to report it. That all of that paperwork is probably lost.
Well, you can't.
I understand it's with a CPA, right? That would be the next step.
Where are you located?
Getting the right CPA.
Where are you located?
Palm Beach County.
Yeah. So what happens is if you can't find somebody to work with you, Vince is here in Stuart, and it's not that far, but you should get a CPA. Are you at home right now?
No, I'm not, but I can write a number or anything.
Let's give Vince's office number, and then if you can write it down. I just don't want you to have a wreck or anything.
Yes. No, I'm already parked and getting out to the mall.
Excellent. I'll give you the number.
But,
you ready for the number?
I'm ready, yes.
It's 772-221.
221.
221-9930.
And the name again, please?
It's Vincent, last name Razzino. Razzino. Spelled like it's pronounced. Well, pronounced like it's spelled.
Vincent Razzino.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Really appreciate the guidance and congratulations. I'm thankful that I was, thank you to the Lord that I was listening to this radio station at this moment. So God bless you guys and keep the great work going.
Thank you so much for calling. Any way we can help, that's what we're here for. 1-888-221-8990. Well, it's not that big a deal to handle this for her, and I doubt there's going to be much of a tax problem.
Well, the problem's going to be getting the data together.
I know, but you can estimate at best you can, right? All you can do sometimes.
The main thing is the income side of it, yes.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, I wanted to ask a question about Social Security.
Go ahead.
Okay. I draw Social Security now,
and I still work, and I pay all my Social Security taxes. My employer matches them. So between the two of us, we contribute probably about $14,000 a year. Can I get any credit for that money that I'm paying if I'm still drawing Social Security? Can I get an increase in my Social Security at any point?
How old are you?
I'm 67.
67. So you're working, so you don't have a penalty. What will happen is when you're 70 years old, they'll recompute based on your earnings. Yes, you will get credit for the earnings that you're paying because you will be paying Social Security taxes in even though you're collecting because you're required to. Any wages that you earn are subject to Social Security even if you were 90 years old and working. So, yes, you'll get a credit, though, when they come to recalculate.
Now, do they recalculate automatically, Vince, or do you have to tell them or ask
them? No, it should be done automatically. But you should call Social Security and verify that with them because I've done this through experience with my clients, but I want to make sure that that hasn't changed.
Quite honestly, you can make an appointment with them and give them your Social Security number. They'll pull up all the numbers, and then they will tell you what you're at now, and then they will, if you work projected forward, let's say two or three more years, if you're going to continue to work, they'll tell you what your benefit's going to be. They're very, very helpful. Where are you located?
I'm located in Plantation.
Okay. You get any Social Security office, whichever one's the closest one to you, and you just have to look them up and find out, make an appointment, and I'd go see them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I
yeah, because otherwise they'd be paying in for nothing, basically.
Yeah. Well, if he's paying in that kind of money, that's a pretty good chunk
of change.
That's
a chunk of change, yeah.
The odds are good they will recalculate his benefit. It's based on X number of quarters, et cetera. I mean, I don't know.
They'll go from when he retired initially at 66, right, probably, and then take it to 70 to recompute it.
Yeah. And then they can, anyway, answer is yes, absolutely. Have it redo it. 1-888-221-8990. How much time we have here, Chief?
6 minutes.
You don't have a card with six on it.
But I was looking at the card.
Six, that's all?
Looking
six
at the clock.
You got a card with 5 minutes on it.
Well, but you still have 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 45 seconds.
So I want to talk a little bit about money. One of the things that, if you haven't noticed, the market's been in a bit of a flux this year.
To say the least. That's a kind word.
That's a nice
word.
It's
a euphemism.
Last year, I predicted the market would do nothing, and that's just about what it did. And I predicted the same thing for this year, even though it's really taken a tank so far. I expect it to come back before the end of the year and be another break-even year. But in the meantime, we have another caller, which I have to take. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, Joe. I've been working with a realtor in another state. He helped lease a property that I own, and he knows the value of the property. Well, I was just calling him about another rather inexpensive property, just talking about it. And next thing I knew, he was asking me if I wanted to do some type of paperwork where the property that he manages, which has a value of like $350,000, wanted me to trade it in on a note for $250,000 on several pieces of property that he owns, and I would get rent. And I thought, is he kidding me? Does that make sense to you?
No, you could do that.
Guess basically my property would be sold, and his property doesn't.
You could do a 1031 exchange.
Yeah, you heard it, the word is 1031 exchange, which is a tax-free exchange. So even though you may sell, let's just say this. He trades your properties for his properties, and it's a sale.
That sounds like he's trading a note.
Yeah, that I don't understand that exactly.
Yeah, well, he holds.
I didn't really understand. I thought, is he taking me?
No, he probably holds private mortgages on several properties, and he just wants to trade your property for in exchange for that note to get the interest on that note for the
term. Her property, it may be more valuable than the property she's given up.
That's a very complicated transaction if that's what he's doing, because you don't know the value of the collateral on those notes, because you're not really owning the real estate. You're owning the note on that. You're holding the mortgage is basically what you're going to be doing.
If it's a mortgage on a piece of property, when you say note, You've got to look at the collateral behind the note to make sure that it's a proper decision. So quite honestly, what I would, if it was me, and this is not my bailiwick, and this is not necessarily Mike's, but we have a CPA sitting here, once he had all the information properly, he could advise you properly. But I will tell you, based on what you're saying right now, that's not enough information.
No. Right, exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Where are you? Where are you located?
Oh, well, I live in Palm Beach County, but my property is where I usually vacation, up in Washington State. So it's a very pretty property that I own, and his property is inland and, of course, has less value.
Yeah,
it does
make me a little bit.
Makes me a little
I guess
nervous.
The word is I'm a bit trepidation is the word that I'm trying to say, that I'm a bit concerned, and especially if you have a to be an absentee from a long period away. If you get pursuing this and you get into more information, call back and get Vince's phone number, CPA, and once you get real numbers and real locations and real everything, I think you could be a little more analytical.
Absolutely.
Okay, definitely. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. 888-221-8990. And Pastor Tom is waving a 2-minute flag at us.
Yep.
Two-minute warning.
Let me just say again, because of the market, what I've been talking to most of my clients about is what is called debt instruments. And like this lady was talking about a note, but there are major companies, monster utilities, that have issued these debt instruments, and these debt instruments are paying 5% and 6% interest. And it's just a great place to park money, in my opinion, for a short time. And anybody that's got questions about such a thing that would like to get some information on it, they call it, and I'll show it how it works. It might work for people, it might not, but it's a great place, in my opinion, when you have trepidation, when you don't know what's happening. Right now, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I guess nobody can really put a real thumb on it as to why.
No, I mean, CDs right now are paying less than 1%.
They've been that way for a long time.
Banks are paying nothing. So I've got a lot of clients that have done these 5% and 6% instruments, and they're very happy. Now, the good news is they're 100% liquid. You can get out of them whenever you want. There's no penalty. The bad news is that you got to pay me. Can you imagine such a thing?
That's terrible, John.
The worst news is, and this isn't
the
worst. You
got to make a living, you mean?
Right, scary thing. That they're good for 2 to 4 years, and they might be called. Called means they might just say, take your money and leave. And they have the ability to give you your money back and let you make you get out of them. But in the meantime, getting an interest check every 3 months for 5% or 6% annually is nice. Compared to 1% or less.
Absolutely.
When you get the
and they're
bank.
Probably not as subject to the volatile market either.
They're so unsubject to it, it's scary compared 15. To what's happening in a real market. And anyway, now, Pastor Thomas, we're at 15. We're waving 10 fingers. Oh, hey, wait a minute. You're counting too fast. Hey, folks, thank you so much. Thank you, callers. Until next week.
Thank you all. God bless.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114. Thank you.
every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.